Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
We'll believe in freedom, and not rest until it comes. We'll believe in freedom, and not rest.
Hallelujah, greetings. Global Performance and Solutionary. We want to give our producer and visionary founder, Miss Naima Latif, a great love shout out and thank you for handling the switchboard today. I'm Evangel Mamadi Lovia Nubian, and welcome to Wisdom with Mama D. We've got some very exciting guests today, November 27th, 2021, sharing their wisdom on fixing who or what is destroying the Black family. Now, this is something everybody knows something about because everybody is a product of a family. And today we're going to be exploring ways to fix what is broken with over 50% of the divorce rate facing our Black family and lots of single moms. There's a lot to coming up after 12:30. Leading off our program, we're going to have Mr. Reuven Fellows, and he'll tell you all about himself. He's one of the hardest working men in the world. And also following him, we are going to have Ms. Tania Scott, and she's the Lady President of UNIA, a division of 401. And for all you Garveyites that are out there, you can get busy and call your family and your friends. And ending out with our program from 1:30 to 2 p.m. is going to be a man named Art. He's known as Art on WVON. His name is Arthur and Hudson. And he has socialized the code of conduct phrase. And anybody that listens to WVON on any of the programs, we have heard about the code of conduct. So he's going to be sharing that with us. So fixing who or what is destroying the Black family. But before I do that, I want to give a special shout out to the parents of Armand Elber. Now, he is, I learned his name. Armand
Arbery.
Thank you so much. You know, I want to apologize to people because I'm so hoarse. I have this sore throat, and it's not helping any. But I'm murdering these names. Thank you. And I wanted to give.
If you get tired, I can help you talk to your guests so you don't have to strain your voice too much. We're live here on the Female Solution Facebook page, and of course, got on the screen that you're listening to the voice of our Saturday host.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
So you're listening to the voice. Who and what is destroying the Black?
But I wanted to give a shout out to his parents for being such a godly Black family example of what it means to be a strong family. And his son, their son did not die in vain. He did not suffer and die in vain, because all the time that people were on the phone, they went over and he was still alive. And one of the father of the killer, he said, oh, he won't last too much longer. And, of course, they're using the Nigita word as he's laying there dying. Might have been the last words he ever heard. But in any case, he did not suffer and die in vain. His death and their hard work changed a law. Citizens arrest law, it changed it, and it added a law, the hate crime law. So that is quite a feat, because that citizens arrest law was over 100 years old. It was created during slavery time, and that's when the slave catchers, that is what they would do. But you wouldn't think that we would have this kind of modern, yeah, we do. We would think that we would have this kind of modern-day slavery. We know that we had that. We saw that with the knee on the neck. So let's not be that surprised. But anyway, this is fixing who or what is destroying the black family. Now, in order to fix who or what is destroying the black family, we must tackle the contributing issues that are TV, movies, and even President Joe Biden is talking about: interracial marriage, advertising, sexualizing little black girls to give candy in commercials to a little white boy, and black men having a choice of women outside of their race. Other reasons, black men saying black women have too many problems, so they prefer white women, maybe subliminally thinking this will enhance their self-esteem and manhood. Disproportionate arrests, murder, suicide, homosexuality, transvestitism, drug addiction, and psychological disorders also impact the demise of the black family. Recently, the chairman of McDonald's said parents played a role in the killing of a 7-year-old girl outside of McDonald's, and there were calls for his resignation. So he mended the fences by meeting with black ministers, and enslavement is a factor. I know people think, oh, let's not bring that up again, but we were never made whole. Enslavement is a factor because the vestiges of slavery and Jim Crow still exist today, according to President Bill Clinton and George Bush. They were featured in the June 18, 2009 U.S. Senate and Congress apology for slavery and Jim Crow genocide that caused heart and mind damage. It's still untreated. And the Personal Responsibility Act that eliminated aid to families with dependent children and promoted poverty by saying that by the year, I think it was 2003, that all families must be working in exchange for a welfare check. You know, I had a column back in the Wilson Junior College days before it became Kennedy King, and I was in the first graduation class to ever come out under that name. I wrote an article, because I had a column called Hip Happenings. And I wrote an article and said that the day would come when black people would work for a welfare check and white people would work for a payroll check. And never did I think that 33 years later that would become the law of the land, blacks working in exchange for a welfare check and whites working for a paycheck. And now the whole thing is sort of changed. Now you can give children $300 per year in 300 plus dollars. I'm not a month, but 300 plus dollars a month for each child. Now, just think about that. You create this law that says you must be working in exchange for a welfare check. You say we're going to build orphanages and build group homes for unwed mothers and all of this kind of stuff, and locked people in a condition of poverty. And now you've reversed the whole thing, just like the crime bill. You mandate jail time for small amounts of marijuana use, and three strikes and you're out for the smallest of felonies. And then you are in jail serving a life sentence. But yet you could get probation for powder cocaine. So many of the problems that break up the black family has to do with policies created. So the UN, but let me just add that. You know, that's the thing about prophecy. You never know it's prophetic until the fullness of time. And you wanted to add something to that? About,
well,
as
you said, it was prophesied that people would be working for a welfare check. And you think about how crazy that is. If you're working, it should be dignified, the fact that you're working. And if you can't work and you need assistance, then you shouldn't be forced to work. So it becomes a way to keep people in a state of feeling like they've been robbed of their dignity. They're not given the respect of earning a living. They're still under the stigma of welfare, but then they have to work in order to get it. That makes no sense at all.
Absolutely, and I guess it was such a time. But that is what's interesting about prophecy. You never know that you're being prophetic until the fullness of time. You know, the UN said that chattel slavery and the transatlantic slave trade was the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind, and descendants have not been made whole from the crimes against their humanity that happened to them, and not everybody. August 31st, 2001, the United Nations voted for descendants of the enslaved to receive reparations. But our families are still waiting, and we now hear that the people who have broken into the country demanding a better life for themselves and brought their children with them, and because there are no family detention centers in America, they put their children in harm's way by breaking into the country. But they said, oh, you separated us. Yes, that's what you do in one place, and you put children in another place. But they got separated. So for that, the ACLU is helping them secure a settlement of $450,000, half a million.
Wow.
For half a million for each child, and $1 million for the family, because they put their own children in harm's way, breaking into our homeland. And we can still, as indigenous Native American Africans, can hardly survive a broken tail light. This is really, all Americans ought to be outraged by just the very thought of something like that, on top of having received the Reparations Dream Act. And those letters stand for D, Development, R, Relief, E, Education. The non-citizens can go to graduate school, not junior college if they get a B average, but graduate school for free. For aliens, DREA, aliens, that's the word that they use, minors, under the age of 31. Now, have you ever heard of anybody being over 30 years old and calling themselves a minor? Well, that's what it means in the DREAM Act, Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors Under the Age of 31, and amnesty from any crime that is not federal. And also, they get exemption from student loans and student debts that our students are drowning in, especially the one that were a movable property thing called chattel for 246 years, release without anything. And it was unlawful, not only for them. There was a Negro Act, and it was unlawful for them to assemble in groups, earn money, grow food, learn to read, or resist their slave masters in any way. That was called the Negro Act. So we were kind of hard on ourselves because we really don't examine the policies that put us in the condition. Those mothers during the welfare days, that if you wanted public housing and decent, this was built for the poor people, but the daddies couldn't stay in public housing. So in order right. to put his family in a safe environment, the daddy had to go, and this was another policy. And when the women did everything, they would even hide their spouses under the bed and try to hide them in closets. Have you heard of some of those situations that were happening back then?
Several stories where the husband had to hide under the bed, in the closet, outside on a window. I have an associate who had a very tragic situation of his father falling to his death as a result of. So it is really an awful thing that families, I mean, people have been traumatized by those memories of the government deciding that we could not have families intact. And this is, what, three generations perhaps since they made it so that black families could not have fathers in the home. But as you pointed out, other families, other immigrants' families, the Polish people, they got welfare. Their fathers didn't have to leave. The people coming from Hispanic areas, their Spanish-speaking areas, their fathers didn't have to leave. They got welfare. You had a lot of people who were immigrants that went through difficult
white
times. Their families, their fathers didn't have to leave the home. So it was
including
only
white
black
people
that was
including
related.
White people that lived in public housing. But you see, this is what happened to us did not happen to everybody. And we need to keep that in mind when we start talking about, well, blacks don't do this and they don't do that. No one on the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind, 246 years of being a movable property thing, released without any money, any land or home or family or education or transportation, not even a pair of shoes to pull yourself up by bootstraps. And the first crime, because the 13th Amendment says there shall be neither slavery nor involuntary servitude in America or throughout its territory, except if you are duly convicted by a jury of your peers. Certainly the slave owner and the slave has never been peers. You are a slave under the 13th Amendment. So it never really abolished slavery. What it did was it changed it. It changes from the individual ownership of slaves to the institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration. And your first crime was not to have a job, because you went from 100% employment for 246 years, and now you don't have a job. And when we see that you're talking about $1 million per family because somebody broke into the country demanding that you have a family detention center for them while they are being fed and clothed and sheltered and provided with entertainment. And this is insult to injury. And you have the effrontery not even to bring up a bill to see if we are worthy to study the problem of should we get reparations. How would it be given? It would be too difficult. No, not that difficult, because only the red man and the black man, the so-called savage and the slave, could be born in America and still not be citizens in the land of their birth. The red man got Holocaust when his land was snatched. We got Holocaust when we were snatched from our homeland to work that stolen land from the cradle to the grave, from sunup to midnight down, for 246 years, followed by 88 years of laws to keep the status of the Negro, not everybody, not anybody else, but to keep the status of the Negro down. And that ended, and that was stated in the Brown versus Board of Education decision of May 17, 1954, and that heart and mind damage that the little children too young to express themselves in anything but dolls, with that damage is still untreated today. And Bill Clinton and George Bush, as I said before, said the vestiges still exist today. We're going to be coming up for a break soon, but I wanted you to hear what pioneer black psychiatrist Dr. Francis Quest Wilson said. Disastrous aspect of colonization, which blacks are the most reluctant to release from their mind, is the colonization of the image of God. Money is a problem, but the root cause of the black family's destruction is the lack of spiritual and moral values. So we are going to ask you to dial 511-515-605-9325 and punch 1 when you're ready to share your wisdom on fixing who or what is destroying the black family. And after our break, we will have Reason Fellows. His last two numbers phone is, I believe it's 4. It's 44, I believe. Because sometimes we don't have the full number. The first three is 773, and the last three is 644. So if you're on Reason Fellows after our break, you'll be up and you can share your wisdom and we can see how we can, the who and the what that is destroying the black family. Take it away, executive brilliance.
Well, we'll be right back after this short break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And that lights your number up on our switchboard so that we can open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you are on our switchboard now and have a thought you'd like to share about fixing who and what is destroying the black family, please press 1. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you've joined us live on Facebook on the Female Solution Facebook page, feel free to write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Somebody called me right when I was in the
Female Solution, a radio TV show, invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Poussin. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose with Viata. Call in and comment 515-5932-5. Press 1 to and be a part of the solution.
I don't know how I missed that.
Oh, man. Okay. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
We're back, and our guest has joined us live. On the live line, we have Reuben Fellows with us today. Thank you for joining us on Wisdom with Mama D.
Well, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm very good, Mr. Reuben Fellows. Please, I told him you're the most hardworking man in the world. I guess you must have known James Brown.
The most
hardworking man in show business. So on this side of community issues, I think you're about one of the most hardworking. But would you please share some people that might not know you, something about you, and you can give a shout out to your WBON program that's coming up this afternoon.
Okay, well, first, it's an honor to be on the show, you ladies I know well, the energy, and so thank you for having me. But I do take on the concept of James Brown. I don't want nobody to give me nothing, open up the door, I get it myself. So
yeah, but it's not really giving you something when some other people can say they want $450,000 per child for breaking in. It's not giving us something. It's paying for reparations for that those crimes against our humanity. So I'll just throw that in. Go ahead. But I get your point. We don't want anybody.
You're right on point. If the East, like you said, if it was even playing field, it'd be different, but they're stealing everything, so we owe definitely. But my name is Reva Foles. I'm co-founder of the National Black Agenda Consortium and several other organizations. I use that because of the national, local, from the block to the boardroom, from the streets to the suites. And so I'm just a servant in the community trying to connect black people around a black agenda for a black cause, for the future of black children. And with that comes a lot of weight, a lot of responsibility, and I welcome that. My athletic background playing basketball at Simeon allowed me to get 2 college degrees, and I know that Mama D, you alumnus from Walcott School to this Kroger store, the Kroger warehouse, and now we have the penthouse, the new building. But that's my legacy. You laid some groundwork, and we put the bricks in Simeon. And so I was able to use basketball to get 2 college degrees, out of Harvard College and Aurora University, a background in social service and educator, phys ed, and health teacher. And so that had moved me into some of the activism. So I use it like I do basketball. I used to pass the ball well and play defense. So the game of life and activism for black people is a constant sport, fighting for life, battling. And so I think I do a great job of just trying to pass the ball to the right people from the South and West Side. So I thank you for having me, and there's some other things. But at the end of the day, I'm Geraldine's son.
Oh, well, that really sounds – and whose father are you? I said, and whose father are you?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and I'm Reuben Lee's DNA, so I just kind of mix it up. But I try to sometimes I leave with my mother because I've been terribly, and my daddy might hurt you, so I don't want to be hurting nobody today.
Well, is that one of the reasons why we need to be fixing who and what is wrong with the black family? That's one of the reasons you had mentioned something like the father, you don't want to, if you get physical. So is that one of the reasons why we have these, why we need to work on fixing who and what's wrong with the black family? Can you give me an example of where you think the first family breakup occurred?
Yeah, when them people came over to the motherland and saw resources and things that they thought they could use and explore, and kidnapped us and brought us over here in these United whatever of America. And we here breaking up the family, breaking up the structure, stripping of our culture, our God, and traveling through the slave ships and then putting laws here when we got here. We didn't come to Ellis Island. We're the only race of people that wasn't invited here and was kidnapped and brought here. Ellis Island, all the Latinos and other groups and other ethnic groups were invited to Ellis Island to take vaccination shot. The pandemic was then. And then you had the vaccine, and they did potlucks. But they came with their God, their gifts, their history, their culture, their family. We came here. We were already over there in New York off of Ellis Island building skyscrapers. And as you know, you found the bodies now buried under those buildings. So, yes, that was the beginning of destruction of the family, I think it is. And then at the same time, getting to the end slavery where they had us jumping the broom, telling us who to get married, having to have children and then breaking up the family plantation and studying men to have babies, and then you move fast forward to Claudine, but I'll leave it at that.
Well, you could add those deadbeat dads. I don't know if any of those slave owners that raped, well, I forgot, a black woman could not be raped during slavery if she was sexually mutilated by anyone other than her slave owner. It was a trespass against him and not her. So, I mean, we came being black. Who do you think colored us? And so we all kind of have a little of that slave owner tank in us. And as you mentioned, we are the only ones that are over here that did not come from a country with a land and a language that and are bilingual. And they're just about to do a real number with this John Lewis Advancement Voters Rights Act, which adds adds a new category. It removes the category from race, creed, and color, and it adds a category called membership in a language minority group. And that minority group is limited to Native Americans, Asians, and Latinos, because Congress decided this group has had voting, they have had the most voting barriers. Now, we're not in that. They did not mention blacks, and they did not mention Haitians, who also are bilingual. But in particular, what this bill will do, in order to be a citizen in America, you must either be born here or pass a naturalized citizenship test. And that test requires be, write, and read in English. However, this John Lewis Advancement Voter Rights Act eliminates that and allows a whole different category of people, citizens or not, having taken the test, to be citizens. And we are the only ones that are here that are not bilingual. Our mother tongue tribal language was stolen from us, and our mother tongue language is therefore American English, because that's all we have through circumstances of what happened to us that did not happen to anybody else but us. So,
well,
they never give up.
So, Reuben, do you think that this is a discrimination against native-born black people who are not recognized for the, I guess, dialect that we speak?
Well, you know, it's the old shell game. Every time we get to make a move, they move the chessboard another way. You know, to get into the science, we always say people died for us to vote, and voters' rights, people got lynched. But I watched in the last election, you know, I don't want to go too far back there. When we moved, we had the biggest election probably historically in Chicago, where we had all the people running for mayor, and we had just had a governor that was Republican draining us in some cases and knocking off non-for-profit. And then we turned around and had the mayor's race where we had a situation with Rahm Emanuel. And then we had the lowest turnout probably in the history of voting in Illinois. So I don't even want to go. I want to start back there with the right to vote. But what about right now? Recently, we were supposed to go out in massive numbers. And on election night, we had a low turnout with all black candidates in there and everybody. So it seems like we're doing a pro job no matter where we are in terms of participating in the voter process. So this new John Lewis thing, until we start, we're getting ready for Kwanzaa, we haven't gotten right yet. 7 days of principles of unity. And then you move back to a concept where we have the Black History Bill since 1991, Mama D, which is a law that we voted in and we put it in for the state. It's a law. So if we're passing laws and not enforcing them as black people, and if we're not coming out in massive numbers because people died and got shot for the right to vote, I don't think like this should be a right conversation because we haven't straightened out the first part.
Yeah, but the thing is, we are not in that group. That Congress, the bill says Congress decided that this was the group, Asians, Native Americans, who are sovereign. They have exempt status, cultural rights, sovereignty, land, and money. And to say that these three is limited to those three groups. So it's not going to do blacks or Haitians or Ghanaians or anybody that's on the black hand side of this bill. All it's given us is the name John Lewis, and it's absolutely going to be devastating when every time you pick up an application like you do today, it says bilingual preferred, and you're the only one over here that is not bilingual, because English is your mother tongue language. And there's a difference between dialect and language. We go to American schools, so we can't come out with saying, I'm glad I was, and all this kind of stuff, but that's the way we speak. That's our language. No, that's not having the proper use of language. As I came from the South, I mean, if I say rat now instead of right now, it's not because of a dialect. It's because of ignorance, and you hoped me, and I hope you back. It's because of not ever being taught any kind of formal language. But if you're going to go to American schools, you can't come up with I glad I win and say, well, that's your dialect, that's your language. No, we need to have standard English, and I'm glad that when they had those congressional hearings on that they straightened it out. We shouldn't be using slang. We should be formally taught how to speak good and correct English like everybody else. But I just wanted to finish with this. We gave Barack Obama 96% of our vote the first time. We made history outvoting whites, giving him 94% of our vote the second time. And he made history for three groups, and it did not include us at all. Yes, we got the benefits of the affordable health, but so did everybody else that he made history for. The homosexuals, the Latinos, putting the first one, Latino woman, on the Supreme Court when he nominated three different ones. And he also made history for the immigrants who were not even citizens, just based on privilege. So, Reuben, are you want to finish up, or are you ready to take a call?
Well, I'll just say this. Again, it seems like they moved the game. We're not demanding our respect, and Obama did what he could, but it didn't help us. And so we're in the ball of diversity, black and brown. We got to be who we are and accept our own and be ourselves. So we can take a caller.
All right.
Okay.
Area code 314-381. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, you know who this is.
And this
you
is
know
Piyagi.
My phone. You know my phone number by heart.
Those numbers, yes, I do.
Now, you know I'm going to have to disagree you on. I'm going to have to disagree with you on one thing, Naima. Not often, but seldom. You talk about they took the black male out of the home in order to receive welfare. I heard people say that many times. But there's no written law that says that. Now, you know what was, because I know black males, families that got assistance why that program was going on and why they needed it. What it said that if you had any able-bodied adults in the household where that program was being applied for, they was counted as a contributor to the running of the household. So if you had a woman and children, no male, she would get more than a woman, a male, a husband, boyfriend, or uncle, or whatever. That's what that was all about. And which
well,
was the right
one. Wasn't it also true that you had a certain income that you had to make in order to get that housing?
Yes, ma'am. It was need-based, and it's still that way today in medical treatment. You got over 60-some-odd comprehensive health clinics in the St. Louis area, and it's based on income. And some things you can get treated for free. Depends on your income. People say, well, there ain't no health care for black people. That's just not true.
So I'm just saying if you went over the income level, was it flat rate based and income based, or was it just income based? Because if the father was there and the income level went over the amount, it still amounted to the same thing for his family and wife and children to be taken care of.
If a father was laid off or whoever was working, if they had four kids, they had to have a certain amount of a threshold. If there were four people in the family. And that's the way it was situated. Because I know people, a family that had Butch, Carl, and Brenda, the mother, the father, that's five, and Mabel, that's six. Six of them was in the family. Most of these people are dead, so don't worry about the names. So, no, and you talk about fixing who and what is destroying the black family. Well, there's a lot of things that's making it difficult in order to put out functional families. And I would say, like I always do, it starts with that education of that child. And that family have to do whatever needed in order to make sure that child is properly educated. And as it stands now, according to the data, that's the only thing you can use, data. Now, I mean, if you go to the doctor Monday, they're going to take your blood pressure, your sugar, your weight, height, and all that stuff. That's data. And if some of those things come back unusual for your circumstances of what you are, then they're going to let you know about it. Well, the same thing exists with your schools. Your children aren't being educated. And you can't say they wouldn't be hired because they are hiring young people for STEM jobs that pay, some start at $70,000 a year.
Right. Excuse me, brother. I agree with you, but rightfully so. We're in a digital divide with no technology in our black community. We call it elect officials or pastors or leadership. So our parents not coming up with technology and laptops. This has been going on for 20 years. I'm part of the digital divide, started in Lawndale with Bruce Montgomery and the rest, Cy Bounds and a host of others. And we digital divide now, loaded with the remote. Well, I do know whatever the numbers and data, when you move to the movie Claudine, they came to the house when I was younger, sniffing around to see if they were smelling men or if it was a beer bottle or what other household, came humiliating black women coming to their household, looking in the cupboard, the same old concept. So whether we use data or not, but the history shows that if you had a man in that house or coming by that house, that woman was promoted to do that and got more help when men were trying to find jobs or men were attacked on since slavery. So I agree with you, but let's not leave out the fact we've taken TIF money to Lincoln Yard up there. They're supposed to go to black schools, black economic development, and 50 years later we got a disinvestment. So the data.
Well, let me say this. I lived in a community where there was a husband in every household except for one, and her name was Bernadette. So I didn't live under that experience. But like I said before, I know people that received help, and the father was in the home. The situation was he was out of work. That's what it was.
We got Oprah Winfrey. Hold on a moment, D. We got Oprah Winfrey. We got all these great athletes, a few percentage make it, and forget about us, and they promote these people like that we've arrived, and using Obama, his wife, and others. So
when you say forget about us, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about black people in the black community. When you
all black people, not to us, sir.
No.
That's one of the problems. That's one of the biggest problems, because you might have had it good. Somebody
That's
else
right.
didn't have that same
Yeah, but why
experience.
Are they keep come on? You had 3,000, according to the Chicago Tribune, 3,000 black millionaires moved off of North Shore Drive. They moved away for a particular reason. And whatever their reason was earlier, they moved away.
They moved for self-hatred. You lost How every
they
magazine
for
building.
Listen, I can't be arguing with nobody. I don't know nobody that moved because of self-racism. Why did they move there then? Because of self-love?
No, you said they moved. You said they moved.
Y'all talking over each other.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me, Mama D, go ahead. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mama D, I'll talk
to you. Cut, because we're going to be going up to the break soon. But you've got to consider the other factors that was going on. There was a need for public housing because blacks were under segregation laws and they weren't free to just move wherever they wanted to go. If you had a nice Chatham-like community, that was wonderful. But not everybody was in that. You said something key. The people that were focusing in on education, all people weren't focusing in on that because they were just trying to feed their children's empty bellies. And their focuses and needs were different. So we should consider that whenever we're talking about what happened to me. It's about what's happened to the masses. I can't think what I ought to be under.
Well, I don't think it was the masses, Mama D, but I think it was a large part. Now, here's the thing. We talking about today. I heard somebody talking about history going back to ancient. It's what you're doing today that 50 years from now, people going to look back and say, what was my ancestor? You are the ancestors for those 50 to 70. Ancient Egypt, blacks in America, like you said. Blacks in America, in the United States, are United States citizens. They live on a landmass called the North American continent. They are not Africans. Africans would tell you that. But you got all these different ideas and so forth that goes on. It's confusing as heck, and I know what they're talking about.
We've already said that. They come from a country with a land and a language. We were stolen from a continent. It's not
well, now see, that's another thing.
We're coming up to the break, so could you Bianchi, thank you for calling in. Could you?
Well, let me say this. Let me say this real quick. It ain't going to take but 3 seconds. All black Africa that came here was not stolen.
Can we give it the closing remarks to our guests, please? Reuben, you're up.
Well, I'm saying, I'm sorry, go ahead. I don't know who to guess.
I didn't know. Again, we'll
be right back.
We have a show. I'm a guest. This is Mr. Reuben Fellows. And so we would love, I say we appreciate the comments, but we can't solve 400 years in a half hour. But what I'm saying to you, there's a direct assault to contradict and attack us to dismantle the family while we're trying to survive. Whether you're African American, we have been divided on the west side, south side, Omega churches. The mass of our people made a few are getting there and not reaching back. So the Obama movement of 8 years as a so-called black president and having a family lineage back there did not help us. And so everybody is passing things back to help their race. Our people get there and help other races. We're not pulling ourselves from a bootstrap that we don't have on boots. So I agree with you, brother, but there's more systemic stuff going on in the community. I grew up in housing projects on 43rd Street, 43rd and Ellis, 43rd in the state, and I grew up in Chatham, the richest black community in the state of Illinois. Well, 20 millionaires. I know the difference. difference, but there's a direct assault on our data than the data they're projecting through the Tuskegee and the other experiments that they talk about. Thank
Would
you
give a WBON shout out for your program this afternoon?
Yes, well, thank you. And again, brother, I hope you tune in. It's called Chicago Hills. Sister Malika, stay rep for it. Myself, 2 o'clock, we're talking Chicago Hills. And today we'll be talking about black economics in the community after we lost South Sheen, John H. Johnson, and we're trying to recycle our dollars, the blackmall.com, Sister Cassiopeia. We got to buy black, love black, but we got to solve an economic problem so we can feed and support ourselves to self-sustainability. Thank you, Mama D. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Rita, and being a part of this spirited conversation. And Bianchi always adds,
I appreciate it.
So thank you. We'll come back up with our Miss Diana. There I go.
We'll be right back after this.
Back with Ms. Scott from UNI.
And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9255. Come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement.
Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Miss Tanya Scott, are you there?
If you're there, please press 1. If you're on our switchboard now, the next guest, and Arvivan also is still with us, I believe. Let's see. No, I think Arvivan had to go. Arvivan had to leave. But certainly, if you are on our switchboard now and would like to make a comment, press 1. We do have another caller, Mama D, you'd like to take. And so
her number is, it starts with 708, and the last three numbers is 570.
Okay, she has not, she hasn't joined us yet. But you have, I believe we have Minister Plump on the line. It wants to make a comment. Grand Rising, Minister Plump. Thank you for joining us. Minister Robert Floyd Plump from Chicago. Of course, we've been talking about who and what is destroying the black family. Please give us your thoughts on the topic.
Weoyah Shalom, Minister Plump.
Weoyah Shalom. Ahura, we don't die, we multiply. Black
I know
is beautiful.
You have, yes, I know you have something interesting to say, because you can tell us a little about, weren't you part of the group weddings that happened with Minister Farrakhan in Washington, D.C.?
No. Thank you very much for asking.
I'm referring to the Million Family March or something. Wasn't there some weddings that took place?
Oh, yes. Okay, you talking about back in the day. I mean, that's taking us all the way back, Mama D. Yes, you know, family is always number one. It's the precious gift that God gave us all to be in, and we really choose to be in whatever family we choose to be in. And I like to think of us as something that the Honorable Mayor Harold Washington stated in this way. We must plump the whole community. And the roots of everything in terms of focusing on our solution is God, family, and the people. All power is to God, your family, and our people. And in understanding that, it all roots in a marriage. And, you know, I heard comments that, you know, in certain communities, you know, there was a household of most in every family had a husband. Or at least the boyfriends, some male involved in the family. So, you know, there's no big I's and little U's. I like to think of the female solution as a part of the major solution from the past to present to the future, which is to say that you all are our extended family. And extended family in the way that you're demonstrating and showing is a three. A three is communication.
you know, what has damaged us from the past to present in the future was really education, information, communication, coordination, and most of all, collaboration. So we have to focus now. We know that we got problems. We all got issues. We all got conditions. And we have to focus, to me, on the solution. And I think if we do what Mayor Washington said, we must pump the whole community. And pumping the whole community is pumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people. Each one teach
Thank
one.
Thank you, Senator Plump. We certainly appreciate that acronym of a name. I think our guest is here now, Mama D. Bring her
okay.
on. Thank you.
Like
we'll follow your advice.
Mama D and Brother Reeven too, and the whole community, and whatever you do. Keep up the
well,
good
thank
work.
Thank you so much, Minister Plump. And I had the pleasure of knowing your wife, Dolores, and your family, and how you conducted and treated each other was really something to be admired.
That is a blessing. Yes. We've got your guest on, and you got another caller on as well. Mama D, you want to introduce our guest, and then
oh,
we'll get your next caller?
Okay. This is Ms. Tanya Scott, and I just want you to introduce yourself in your own way, Ms. UNIA.
Well, greetings, Mama D, and great Garvey Day to all African people at home and abroad. My name is Sister Tanya. I hail from the south side of the city of Chicago. I'm a member of the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, and African Communities League. I've been involved in community organizing for about 6 years now, and I'm a mother of two teenagers and a labor worker myself, and I'm just here for black people, so thank you for having me on the show, Mama D.
Well, you know, when we get to fixing who or what is destroying the black family, Marcus, one of the things that's destroying the black family, it seems to be this battle of the sexes. And if we go back, biblically speaking, there was this male and female. Created he them and blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply. But that equality is sort of missing. So could you just touch on how the most honorable Messiah Garvey dealt with the family and that whole issue of equality.
And Tanya, can you tell me how to spell your name? How do you spell your name, Tanya?
Yes, Queen.
T-A-N-I-Y.
Thank you, Mama D.
I'm sorry, what's that again?
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what was it again? I want to spell it for our viewing audience on Facebook and YouTube. How do you spell Tanya?
Okay, Queen. Capital T-A-N-I-Y-A.
Okay.
Middle initial L, the last name Scott, S-C-O-T-T.
All right.
Now, because considering that time, I know there wasn't, this I'm better than you and man in charge, because they skip over that male and female created he them and blessed them and gave them dominion over the earth and told them to be fruitful and multiply. That 6 day, biblically speaking, it just seems to have been skipped over. So could you, I know women played an active role in the UNIA, so I was just wondering if you could
mm-hmm.
give
absolutely.
His,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Mom did. So, you know, as you stated already, Mama D, the battle of the sexes is a age-old argument, right? In that, you know, I think the Honorable Marcus Garvey had kind of obliterated that battle between the sexes when, you know, he ultimately created the concept of race first. And I think that that's the most neutralizing way from black men and women to get along, because it kind of put us on even keel with each other. And as far as, you know, the UNIA and women, hey, black women at home and abroad was involved in the UNIA in the 1920s. The early 19-teens, and they always was writing articles in the Negro World, you know, about the struggle of the black race, the struggle for the black family, the struggle for the black man, woman, and child. But there was always a group of sisters that wrote in the Negro World a column for the black woman only. And they asked the association, you know, to acknowledge their role as the backbone of the organizing work that the UNIA was doing in the female column of the Negro World. And they asked the organization that in order to live up to what it says, is that we race first, is that you will give women equal power and share in the titles, right, in the work, which means that males cannot be the only one that can be called president, right, and males cannot be the only one called vice president, and females needed a sense of self-esteem as well and leadership. And so the Honorable Marcus Garvey and the members of the UNIA in the 1920s acknowledged Henrietta Vinson Davis and all of the women, the Amy Ashwood Garveys of the world, and the all of these women in the UNIA, said, you know what, we hear your cry. And so in order for this to work, for us to get this race work done and do it right, we're going to divide the power. And that's really, I think, still hold true, Mama D, is that some of the power have to be divided. We gotta know what we're good at and what we're not good at, and we have to share that power amongst each other. And I think, you know, that's the true meaning of what it means to march forward as a black man, woman, and child in this thing called race work and being race first, is that find out what we have in common, and that's what Marcus Garvey was always good at. What do we have in common instead of what we have different?
Oh, that's fabulous. I never knew why that race first was a equality symbol, and that would break down those males only being presidents, and that's like doctors only being males, and girls always had to be the nurse, and you know, so that's really fabulous news to comprehend. Do you think that a woman's only kind of column might benefit us today?
You know, Mama D, I think we have too many women's only columns. And I say that because I think that it's saturated with women's only things. And I think that when you know, there's a saying that, you know, if you want to go, you know, African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think that women, we have to be careful with our power because we have some sense of power, right? But we don't want to leave behind the man and the child, right? And I think the togetherness is missing, you know. Right now, I think since we have so much so-called power, black women are and leading in every almost every capacity, we're still finding ourselves at odds with the black man and a black child. So we just have to be careful and make sure we're pulling the whole family with us. I think that's something that we need as far as when you ask if we need more women's only columns. I think we need when black women need to take the position that they have and use it, you know, for the whole family. And so that's the thing that's missing. I think Mama D, I'm gonna give you a better example than that. A contemporary of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, ancestor Dr. Francis Cress Welton, spoke particularly about black male-female relationships. And one of the most interesting analogies that she gave on how we can be solution-based with doing this race work and black family work, black female, black male work. And one of her really powerful analogies she gave in her book, Keys to the Colors, the ISIS papers, she said that, you know, two things that we can do to raise the black family back up to where it should be in society. And number one thing is energy. And energy is a powerful force. Energy, what we put our minds in and energy behind is what's going to grow and is what's going to multiply. And she said that if black people be careful and strategically use our energy for the black family only, then we're going somewhere if we take our energy from all of these other distractions. So number one solution, you know, instead of having a female-only column is putting our energy into the black family only. Number two, she said it's a solution-based problem would be is when you play the chessboard and you notice that there are white pieces and there are black pieces. And she said that, you know, one of the issues that we need to learn how to do is stay on the black side of the chessboard. I thought that was something powerful because she said that if you specialize in the black pieces on the board and you stay there until you get every problem solved and you don't let the white piece king or queen you, then you become an expert at your own problems and ultimately you solve your own problems within your race. And so right now, black women are all over the board.
Right at this current time, so I just wanted to say that is fabulous. Someone is on the line. I realize that. That is
the caller,
a fabulous.
Eric 773-885. Thank you for joining us.
That is I just wanted to say this to sisters. That is a fabulous thing to grasp, especially that energy. What you had said earlier on when the women were writing their columns and stuff, there was a different balance at that time being created. But now when it's lopsided, when the women, like you say, seems to have a lot of power and given more attention to, you know, that black family, that approaching everything with that race first that neutralizes the battle and putting us that emphasis on the family I think that's fabulous, and I really do thank you for those Dr. Cress Wilson quotes. You're going to ask a question?
Caller 773-85.
Hi, good afternoon. can you hear me?
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mama
Jean.
Yes. Hi. Yeah, this is Mama Joy calling in. I really wanted to respond prior to the young lady coming in, but she's still on point in terms of Black women in particular and the family. And I appreciate the information that you've given regarding Dr. Marcus Garvey, whom I deem as a providential person, as many of our leaders are. I feel that individuals like him are part of that alignment of the genesis of the male position. But we in America, it seems as though other cultures and race can deify themselves or create a line of divinity for themselves. But we have failed to do that. And I'm really beginning to understand that there are many of us who our culture is a very spiritual culture, but yet people like Marcus Garvey, we have not seen him in the prophetic of the providential person here in America to build a oneness. I didn't realize that he was for the equality of both male and female. I didn't know that. So I'd like to call him a prophet, as well as others that have come. Even Frederick Douglass, you know, we go back there. One of the things is that, you know, this man was prophetic. His writings, George Washington Carver with our Black history, just another providential person. I think, Mama D, that one of the issues that we have is not allowing God as a central figure, regardless of whether we are Muslims, Christians, Calvinists, or whatever the denomination, not seeing God as a centered presence in all of our lives and actually allowing, even Elijah Muhammad, he was the prophet, the last messenger of God to the Black man. He did a lot for the family. And I want to mention back, because the comment that you made that about Farrakhan having that million family blessing. He was influenced by Father Sun Myung-moon, who had come from Korea and established that family of rally, because originally Minister, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, he had proposed a million man's march. But Father Sun Myung-moon came and they talked together and they sponsored and supported him in the A Million Family March. And during that particular situation, there was a rededication to the blessing, which they called in the Unification Church, the blessing of the family. So that's another thing. We know some of the highlights, but sometimes we don't know the background of who's influencing who or whatever. But God's presence is very, very clear to me, and I just wanted to say that because I am the coordinator of the American Clergy Leadership Conference of Chicago. And in that position, I am moving towards learning about other people's cultures. And I do, with the young lady, Naima, forgive me, I forgot her name. Forgive me. I got to say your name again. Denaya. Yeah. Anaya. Anaya, I believe in that, and I am a community organizer. But I also realize that our story stays with ourselves. Our complaint stays with ourselves. Our even our progress, it stays with us, and it never emulates, and it never gets to the front where the support, because so many of us don't trust elements outside of ourselves.
Thank you for your call, but could we just have some final closing remarks from our guest? So I thank you. If you want to hold on, we can finish your conversation. But I guess you got a closing comment. Certainly do appreciate you being on the program. So any closing remarks? You got about 60 seconds.
Yes, really quick, Mama D. In the words of Mama Frances Quest Wilson, is that always realize that the white queen on the chessboard is trying to conquer the black queen, and the white king is always trying to conquer the black king. So stay on the black side of the board, family, and that's my message.
Well, I thank you. No integrated boards. Stay on the right side. Stay on the right side. Thank you so much for your comments. First of all, the Million Man March came, and after that, I believe it was the Million Family March, but the Million Man March was the first one. And it was probably inspired by the mass kind of weddings that Sung Young Moon was famous for doing, having those massive integration marches, I mean marriages, and particularly he would put black men with Asian women, because many a times they didn't have citizenship, and they could get it through marrying black male citizens. So we're going to be breaking for our commercial. Thank you for listening.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Do you believe in freedom? Cannot rest until it comes. Do you believe in freedom?
Okay, we are back. Welcome to Wisdom with Mama D. We are on our last half hour, and I certainly thank you for listening. 515-605-9325. Just punch one to be a part of this conversation and share your wisdom. As I said before, we all came from families, and we can speak on that subject. Are you there, Mr. Arthur Hudson?
Press one if you're on our switchboard now. Press one, that'll light your number up on our switchboard, and we'll know that you are ready to speak. And in the meantime, your last caller is still on the line. I don't know if Mama Joy had another.
Well, I want to finish, make sure we got our guest on the line if he's there. The last four numbers, 7903.
Last four numbers.
Yeah.
I don't believe your guest has called in yet. If you're on our switchboard, please press 1. If you've called in from another number, press 1. And if you're on our switchboard, have not spoken yet and you would like to make a comment, press 1. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325, and press 1. And if you have joined us live on Facebook, on the Female Solution Facebook page, that number that's crawling across the screen is 515-605-9325. And, again, press 1 to speak to your host, Mama D. And if you'd like to type in a comment on our Facebook page, we'll bring it up on screen and share it with our listening and viewing audience.
Okay.
You are listening
to
Female
Solutions Global Realty. Since he's not here, you mentioned that you are part of the American Clergy of Chicago or something like that.
Yes, what's the name of that organization, Mama Joy?
Yeah, the ACLC, Women in Ministry in Chicago, yes. Yeah, you're correct, Mama D.
Okay, because I was wondering, you know, some of our inequality contributing to the battle of the sexes is biblically based. People seem to just skip over Genesis 1:26, and that sixth day in which the script was kind of changed. It was a sovereign, and God said, and it was, and God said, and God said. But all of a sudden, he changed the dialogue into let us make man after our image and our likeness. And he goes on to say male and female. And not just that, but he blessed them, both of them, male and female. He gave them dominion over the earth and told them to subdue it. And also he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. So it seems that we skip over that because I think what happened from there was no man to till the garden or the earth, but they were put in charge of that. If they wasn't told to, now you go and get somebody else to do your work. They were told to subdue the earth. But my question to you is, why do you think even today that they skip over that part that gives the thought of God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son? Many, one sun, one moon, and many stars. One sun, one moon, and many children. So there is that Trinity over the female and make it male, male, male. And yet he said, be fruitful, male and female, and multiply, not male, male, and male. God the Father, God the Son, God the Mama, and God the Holy Spirit. All of these are he's. So do you think that some clarity at some point needs to be done with that? Now that we can reason together.
Yeah, not only can we read, but I believe that at this particular stage in the life that I see that you're perhaps in my contemporary, that in reading the scriptures and being involved in movements, that the book certainly reads differently. And one of the constellations, I'm not a unificationist, I want to make sure that that's clear. I have my own organization and I have my own ministry. But I'm with them and with the ACLC because it allows an opportunity for women to come together and collaborate with women of all faiths so that we can question these kind of answers, give answers within our reasons and our own experiences as to what that is about. One of the things that Father Samyang Moon has done and Mother Moon is to bring about the reality that that is where the breakdown comes, and that is because there has not been any recognition of the female divinity, the divine woman, the womb of all life. And so as the coordinator this year, we did six programs, each honoring the divine feminine that exists in every ethnicity, the black and the African-American. I had them put black, African-American, Negro, colored, because I've been all of that in my lifetime. But then with the Hispanic, the Asian women, as well as the Native American, and just women in general, provincial women who look at themselves just as women of God. And so that is part of the correction that is being done now through the American clergy. That is what we're doing. And that is bringing women into the mindset and taking ownership, the importance of taking ownership, not to compete with men, but to make men whole. Because the chaos that we're experiencing and the breakdown in the family is, I agree, the conflict between male and female. And one of the things that can happen is if women can actually take ownership, as it was given in the beginning, as you said in Genesis 1:26, and also Genesis 1:26 and 27, he said, let us make men, and you know, male and female. The lineage of the male is very clear. We can follow it right on down the whole biblical history for 6,000 years, but yet you do not see any woman outside of maybe Deborah, who, you know, in her stance, she told Barak when he came to her to go with him into battle. She said, well, you know, the victory is going to go to a woman. So, you know, that's what we're doing now.
Sorry.
I hope that answered your question. That's what I'm promoting now is the divinity of the feminine.
What I was wondering was, well, could that be because the Book of Wisdom is omitted? Because when we think about spirit, wisdom, and word, it gets back to the female.
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. And the Book of Wisdom.
The Holy
not the
Spirit,
book of Mormon.
What I call it is the Holy Spirit, Mother of Wisdom.
Amen.
And
I agree. I agree with you. I'm so happy to hear you
comfort,
say that.
We will not have war and pain.
This is the tail part. We never,
and
we
you
know
it's Mama Dean, that's another issue that I take too, is that I have been bringing the various books, and they're still taking issues like Isaiah 23:5 and Isaiah 33:15. You got me excited now. Is there continuously going through the Bible and erasing feminine references? That would, even if a woman was looking, it she can't find herself in the scripture. You know,
you have a caller, Mama D. Before I bring another person to this conversation, area code 919, just wanted to throw this thought out there that I recently read a book that also explained that there were women at that Last Supper, and the European men who were translating the Bible and all of that, they were so anti-women, they erased all references to all those women. So Jesus
That's
wasn't
right.
just sitting there with 12 disciples. There were some women in that room as well.
Yes,
their,
exactly.
Their presence was erased out of history totally. So that
Mary Magdalene was one.
And not only that, the most powerful verse in the scripture is the one in which the woman didn't say a word. She used her hair, she used her tears, she used her hands, and she used her healing ointment, and it was clearly said, why are you troubling this woman? She's done a good work. She is anointing my body for burial, and wheresoever in the whole world that this gospel is preached, this that this woman has done be told as a memorial to the woman. Now, what's important about that is as often as you do this in response, in remembrance of me. Of me is a personal thing, but the memorial to the woman is a gospel thing. And the Messiah, the Christ, Yahshua, who most call Jesus, this is what he said. He honored the memorial to the woman. And if we would begin to anoint souls as he did and anoint that body for the new life, bury that old nature and anoint the body for the new life, that would be a change that is in accordance with scripture.
Thank
you.
That's good. Wonderful.
Yes. You got area code 919-606. Your mic is open. Go right ahead with your question or comment. You're on Wisdom with Mama D. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mama D, and to your friends and family and guests. This is Anita.
Thank you for calling, Anita.
Thank you.
And where are you calling from, Anita? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Carolina.
Anita from North Carolina, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. I kind of missed what the lady was saying about what Marcus Garvey's reason for how he made the man and woman work together. Can somebody brief me on that quickly?
What she said was that the women, that in order to battle of the sexes, he used race consciousness, race first, as a balancer, and that he didn't allow, and that he allowed women to be presidents and office holders as well as males, and he was very progressive, and the women felt a sense of equality in their roles. And they were equal workers and equally rewarded when it came to holding office. And that is something different. But that is an interesting concept, that if you go race first instead of gender first, then you can come together. And that's, I think, what she was alluding to. What do you think, Naima?
Yes.
Does that answer her question?
His perspective was not as chauvinistic, I should say, as many of the leadership. And because of that, I think his organization excelled. The men who excluded women, they did not have as much success because, you know, women have skills. Usually we're the organizers, we're the detailed people. So when men exclude women from their efforts, they tend to not succeed. And so Marcus Garvey, he was trying to pull up the entire race, which meant the male and the female and the family, and I think that's why he went a lot farther. What is that saying the sister said? If you want to go fast, go alone. Go far, go together. So I think that was one of the reasons why he excelled. So caller Anita, you had another comment or question?
Yeah, I had a comment. I was going to add to that that I have found, because I don't know, for some reason, I just went with the be fruitful and multiply. And to me, that meant if I get married, you know, just have my children as long as my health would hold up. And I was following a lot of the Islamic concepts of family. And for the Muslim family, they require the woman to consider breastfeeding for 2 years because that's when the back teeth are in the infant's mouth. You know, at about 2 years old, all the back teeth are in and they can chew, which would require the mom to be at home preparing healthy, you know, meals, and, you know, agriculture and stuff would have to be straight because allergies and all this stuff they're introducing into the diet is hurting everybody. And so I think the women need to naturally look at their role instead of trying to jump out of it and act like it's not important. I mean, if someone oppresses you and rapes you and act like your family is important when you know your feelings are for your child, you have to really go all the way back and really think about what do I naturally have that I rely on the man for. And if you're nurturing children before there was machinery, women couldn't run out in fields and things and run down animals to eat. I mean, women just couldn't do that, not pregnant. And I know as a young mom and woman, I was getting pregnant almost every year, you know.
Oh, wow.
And, so women are very fertile.
You know,
you're doing a lot.
I would like you said that, I would like to know who said that, was it a man that said a woman should breastfeed until the child is 2 years old and have back teeth? You see, I think that's one of the real problems that we have. Women give birth and men think that they're supposed to slap this child and introduce them to pain before they're even introduced to comfort. I saw a cat give birth, and as each kitten slid out, she never struck out at those kittens, and she was just a cat. So I think men that give orders to women when they have never given birth is the same kind of divisiveness that happens. Men are telling women what they should be doing, and they don't have breast, and they don't do the breastfeeding. My sister-in-law had, she had a set of twins. They were stillborn. And by the time she was 28 years old, she had birthed 10 children. And she was actually so raggedy until the doctors took it upon themselves to tie the tubes. So women who are trying to keep up with popping out these babies every single year does not always result in what is best for the health of the mother. Just because you can have them, I don't think you should have them like that. And there are natural rhythm birth control methods that women can do with the knowledge of their bodies. They don't have to have pills and other kinds of things to have birth control. They can use cycle control because a woman cannot be pregnant the entire month. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. But, Mama D, I had used all of that with my husband, but my children still were coming rapidly. My health was fine. Islam also affords the woman the availability to her husband to be the total provider of the family, and the family and community works for that to happen. And I happen to enjoy it. I happen to be an educator. All of my kids have gone through college. We ended up getting a divorce. I think my husband got overwhelmed, but I didn't. And I do suggest, because of the teeth, that's biological. Men had nothing to do with the back chewing teeth coming in, you know, where the child would actually have to eat. So some of the cues are from nature. Yes, you are supposed to protect your health. You're not supposed to, you know, but then God makes this food potent, and then man tears the food up. You know, I mean, he's trying to make it cheaper and spread it thinner and make more profit, and then that's tearing, you know, the bodies up, even the hormones. I mean, if you're trying to have a vaginal birth and you've been eating meat with hormones, you know, maybe that's going to make your baby too big to even come through your body. I mean, so some of the things that we do is not the best thing for, you know, our natural, you know, role in life. So we have to be real careful and work with, you know, the system.
I'm so glad
ecology.
You brought that up.
I have two other callers. We got about 3 minutes left. You got four callers if you want to.
Could I just say this? I'm so glad that you brought that up, because part of the what's broken, as it needs to be fixed, is a man looking upon a woman as an object of his personal pleasure, and should be ready 24 hours a day because he is. So I think that's one of the other things that could need some fixing. So we're going to try to get in one more call.
Okay, let's see. Area code 602-332. Thank you for calling.
Greetings.
Name where you're calling from and your comment.
Hey, man, I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. And I just love y'all sisters, support to y'all sisters. We got to help our sisters get over the hump. And a lot of it comes from the men being responsible and knowing what we do. And I'm not speaking for all men. I'm speaking for myself. I've hurt multiple women, but at the same time, I also know how to say sorry. It's not about the pain. It's about understanding what you did to say sorry and making it move forward.
Well,
thank you so much
for that. That was well stated. And,
all right, we got one more caller we can maybe squeeze in before we get ready to go. And area code 111. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Got 30 seconds. Greetings to the show. It's awesome to listen to that. I just wanted to interject this quickly and follow up with what the brother was saying. Two things. Our people, the subject is, what's destroying the black family? We don't have the unity we're supposed to have, but taking responsibility for the male. Men have to start respecting women for their minds and their spirit. That was what I was listening to when I was listening to the wisdom of the sisters, and you all just, you know, directly guided. Since the woman is inward, the man has to wait to be the one for her to give him an open door. He can't just go running in. The old guys used to tell us when we were young, tell her anything she needs to hear, do what you want. And
well,
you don't
right.
need a woman
thank
like that
because
it doesn't
and
work out. But one last thing. If you do that poem,
Mama D, we hear the music, and that means it's time.
The poem about the boy and the girl.
Thank the wisdom with Mama D. And Blog Talk Radio, and
we've
thank
come
you
to the
so
end
much,
of our show
our
today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-.
And tune in tomorrow evening for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata, and then we'll be right back here again 7 a.m. with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. So we appreciate you for, as always, joining us on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif, and until tomorrow, continue to shine your light.
And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, John Cunyon. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.